Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight on the Hill, located on Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, go over there and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over, have some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record, eat some tacos, and just have a great time. There's all kinds of music going on over there, and a lot of unique recordings and things. It's really something special for St. Louis, and so get out and support them. Check it out. Full listings on GaslightSTL.com. Follow along on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and again, everything GaslightSTL.com. Also want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location in the Zach Building over... It used to be the old Plush building, if you may remember that location. So check it out. Go on over there, visit them. They got new records in every Friday. A lot of live in stores and all kinds of things. So yeah, you can shop online 24/7, musicrecordshop.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Christian Lawrence with Bare Knuckle Comedy, History Schmistry in Transit, and whatever else I'm doing these days. And you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri.
What? We're in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, finally.
Live from St. Louis.
Oh, we finally got here. Thanks,
Christian
Shane.
Lawrence.
Oh, well, that's what they say his name is.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, Shane. Thanks for having me, man. I'm telling you, you make this so easy. God bless it. I'm just gonna take a nap right here.
Right.
We got this. Yeah. Oh, you're the best at this, baby. Oh, I love it.
I'll just wake you up when I leave.
Well, there you go. Done. Yeah. You go. Go play with the ferrets for a while. We got it.
But yeah, man, I mean, we haven't seen you in a while. I don't know. I was starting to think, I think maybe the last time I got to see you was like the Elvis Room. And I think like Ben Cronberg. Down there?
Oh, yeah, something like that. It was probably one of the Bare Knuckle Comedy shows down there. Yeah. We were over Blueberry Hill for a while, and somebody was down there. Yeah, it might have been Nick Vatterott who was there. We had a fifth anniversary show, maybe. I'm not too
Could
sure.
Have been. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It was Ben.
Ben, okay,
And then I remember like him doing his cell phone stuff. But yeah, no, I was.
Yeah, man.
I've seen Nick a bunch of times too. He's another favorite.
I love Nick to pieces. God, that kid.
He's also been a 2-time guest of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nick's the best.
Yeah, I usually catch him when he's in town for the holidays and.
Oh my gosh!
Hangs out.
Next time he's in town, just put him in a box and just leave him at my house. I love that kid. Right. I just want him around the house. I love him.
Yeah, man. So, it's been a bit since we got to hang and stuff.
That's right.
Been trying to, you know, say, hey, we need to do one of these, and we worked out, man. We're here today.
So. I think it's been 10 years. We've been talking about doing this for 10 years. And I don't know if you can hear that, guys. That was just thunder. It was 10 years ago today.
Right.
I told Shane I was going to do his podcast. And everyone died. I wonder if you were able to hear that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they did. That was a good one. I think. But yeah. So a lot of these I try to kind of... I like to get to hang out and, you know, kind of get more of your stories and stuff and things. Because a lot of us, you know, when I do see you, it's in passing at a show and we don't really get to hang. And
it's like a high five and that's it.
Right.
It's like, all right, Shane. Psh, yeah. Adios.
So
So
where does all this get going for you, man? Where does comedy start for you?
So I was in between semesters in college, and me and some friends for the summertime we had the apartment over at the Westport area. I was looking for a day job. I walked into the Funny Bone. I'm like, you looking for work? And they're like, hey, look, a body. Yeah, come on in. So yeah, I started working for them for a little while, and those were on like a million years ago, like 1999, 2000. So I started doing some open mics, and the Funny Bone at that time. It's a little bit different now, but at the time it was kind of like, you know, there's the people they like. Mm-hmm. There's people like, hey, you know, we want him here a lot. So I didn't get a lot of that stuff. So I'm like, man, I'm not going to worry about that. And I stopped doing that. And I found this show that's at the time had already been long canceled called Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Yeah.
And I was like, that just blew my head up. I'm like, oh my God. So I started doing sketch comedy for a long time. And, you know, like, it's hard to, you know, put shows together if you're trying to organize a bunch of people. It can be very difficult doing that. So I've been helping produce shows for a while. Help you, hey, somebody's coming to the town. Hey, talk to Christian Lawrence. He'll set you up with a show. So I've been meeting all these people from all the country. And the last month or so, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get back into doing stand-up. And because I've been making all these friends throughout, you know, helping people out all throughout the country, I'm like, hey, mind if I do your show? And they're like, absolutely. So there's, okay, it looks like I'm going over there. Or I'm going to this city. Okay, I'll do your show too. Thank you. So that's where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of discovered Mr. Show. I don't really remember. I remember the name. I don't think I really watched the show then.
Yeah.
But I discovered Run, Ronnie, Run.
Oh.
And just like picked it up at Blockbuster one night and became like such a instant favorite of mine.
Dude.
And I shared it with like all my friends, and like nobody else had ever heard of it. It was kind of one of those straight to DVD mm-hmm. things at the time.
Yep.
And but like that movie was so great, and if you haven't seen it, you should go definitely go watch it because it's hysterical.
So. Yeah, God, so good, man. I'm telling you, that whole crew of dudes that was back in like the late 90s or something like that, yeah. That was the best.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like to watch it, like I've revisited it since, you know, and watched it, but like it's just nuts to like see you go through, even when I first watched the movie, I didn't really quite realize exactly what was going on there, but now you watch it, and you, of course, like you got Patton Oswalt, you got Brian Posehn, you got you know, just all these guys, all these faces.
That Paul F. Tompkins,
yeah.
Bob Odenkirk, David Cross. That was like, yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible,
right.
Man. That whole crew is just, it's like a godsend. Those dudes all happen to get together and happen to do this show. It was incredible.
Yeah.
So beautiful, man. Like, I'm telling you, just peeled back my head of, like, what comedy could be, because I was just seeing, like, stand-up and, you know, set-up, punch, and that's great. But, man, seeing those dudes just go totally bonkers with it, I'm like, man, comedy can be so big. It can be so crazy and weird and expansive. Mm-hmm. Oh, Shane, it was beautiful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's, you feel like that was probably a big start to it?
Oh, yeah, man. Seeing that, and so after I saw that for the first time, I was doing a bunch of sketch groups in town.
Sure.
And was doing, like, shows with a bunch of burlesque groups in town, and we did a sketch show with Lola Vanella, where it was a vaudeville-themed show where it was like, we did like period sketches. We tried to make everything look like it was from vaudeville, and you had like burlesque girls in between. And, you know, once you do all this dumb stuff, you learn, like, okay, now I've done this kind of show. This is the tools I need to do this kind of show, this kind of show, this kind of show. So you just develop all these production skills, mm-hmm. you know, all the writing skills and all that trash. Yeah, man. Mr. Show was incredible.
Yeah.
God, I love that show.
Yeah. Were you, like, even before that, like, were you, like, the class clown kind of guy or any of that kind of stuff in school or involved in the arts?
So I was, you know, I did all the high school theater stuff, you know, did all that stuff. That was fun. You know, I can't learn lines. Right. I have a lot of trouble learning lines. I remember I did my senior year. They chose. I used to have big glasses when I was a kid, and so they said, "Well, you know, it's Christian's senior year. We're going to do a show for him." And so we did Little Shop of Horrors, and I think she picked it so that I could do, you know, Seymour, right?
Right.
There was one of the songs in there called "Clothes for Renovations." I never ever learned anything other than the first two lines of that song. And it's a duet between Seymour and the female, one of the other characters, and I'd mumbled my way through the whole thing. Like, theater, I knew I wanted to perform. I didn't know, like, theater, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think in my high school thing, you could only win one superlative. You could only win one. They gave me most spirited. But apparently it's been said that I was going to win, you know, most popular in class clown. But they could only win one. So they gave me that one so that, you know. It's all an inside job. It's all politics in high school. I'm telling you, Shane. So, yeah, I used to goof around. I was the guy. I used to do the morning announcements. And I knew, you know, hey, here's the morning announcements. How can I make them weird? So we had, like, we'd get, like, a band. The morning announcements were done through a phone. And so I had to just, there's a band over there. And I'd say, here's the morning announcements. I just hold the phone out to this band. You can't see what I'm doing here at home, folks. But I just held a phone out in front of a band. They'd play this music. And, I used to make, like, fake announcements up and stuff like that.
Sure.
And,
very cool.
Yeah, silliness. Silly stuff.
I was named Biggest Heart of my senior class.
Listen to you. Yeah. Yeah, you were. Look at you.
So.
See, because you're doing right.
Yeah.
You're doing right. You're doing good. God bless you. God bless you.
But yeah, I always thought that was pretty cool. I mean, to be acknowledged for that, for something to be noticed for. And
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. You know, I don't know what it means anymore, but absolutely. I remember moment I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. It was, like I said, it was nice to know that you're making an impact on somebody's life.
Yeah, sure.
I was like a straight C student. Terrible.
Oh, yeah. I slept my way through most of my junior and senior year.
Right on.
I started working at 16. I was working nights, and then I go to, you know, I was also like, trying to go to all the football games and trying to go to everything else, I was writing for a school paper. I was in DECA. I was in FBLA.
You ever seen the movie Rushmore?
I don't think so.
It's about this straight C student who starts and joins like every club imaginable.
Right.
He's in every club. He's a terrible, terrible academically. That is totally my life.
Right.
If you ever want to learn what Christian Lawrence is like in high school, that's it.
Yeah.
I was in every... I started the McClure Bowling Club. And there was at least 100 people in the McClure Bowling Club. We went bowling once. I felt like, I did it. Done. I was just like, yeah, everything. Just like you. Every club I could be in, I did it. Just wanted to get to know everybody.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was much better at all that stuff than, like, actually... I mean, I don't know. All my comments, you know, they write on my report cards, they all knew I was smart, and I just never applied myself, and that was the thing. Like, I was always sleeping in class and everything else, so.
I remember Ms. Marshall, who I had the biggest crush on, she was so beautiful. She's like, Christian clearly knows, he can clearly do this, he can clearly do it, he just doesn't apply himself.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty consistent. Yeah, that's pretty consistent.
I took French 2 in my senior year, and the teacher luckily liked me enough to where she passed me. She's like, she didn't want to see me. I got to the point, like I said, my grades were awful. Luckily, they don't really mean much anything anymore. I was like, got to the point where it was like either I was going to pass or have to repeat a grade or summer or something like that or whatever it was. So luckily she passed me, even though I probably didn't deserve it, but I got through and graduated on time and stuff. So,
but you learned, you and I learned how to talk to people, how to be cool with people, and that's why I'm so glad to announce that tonight on this podcast, me and Shane, we're going to 2020.
Yeah,
it's me and Shane, presidential. We're doing it, man. I'll be the vice president. That's fine. You know, you run all this. I'll just be the guy in the background. We got this, man.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks.
You're right. Yep. Done, guys. It might not happen, but I think it might. We'll see.
But yeah, man, that's Very similar high school experiences.
Goofing.
All right.
Yeah, goofing.
So you're meeting all these cool people, and you're producing some shows, and you're doing a little stand up. You figure that the sketch is definitely more your strength.
So I started doing the sketch stuff because it was like it was easier for me. Like when I saw the folks at the Funny Bone, it was set up punch. Like, it's traditional stand up, makes total sense. I always wanted to find a way, kind of like what I was talking about with the announcements. I always try to find a way to take something and just make it different, make it weird. I always want to do that.
Right.
So I knew I wasn't going to be able to get in because I couldn't do what these guys wanted to do. Started doing sketch stuff, and then a buddy of mine, I was running an open mic for a while, and a guy I met named Kevin White, he had previously been banned from the Funny Bone because, politics. It's all politics, right. Just like high school from earlier. He got banned from the Funny Bone, and so Kevin was like, I don't like these guys. And I'm like, I don't like them either. And so we started our own show just so we could do whatever the hell it is we want. He came from more of a stand-up background. I came from more of a sketch background. And so we're like, let's just make our own stupid show so we can do whatever the hell it is we want, and nobody can tell us no. So we started putting what was then called Punch Drunk, what's now called Bare Knuckle Comedy, and it was just, we're going to do... Here's a dumb character Christian wants to do. Kevin's going to do some stand-up, or Christian's going to do stand-up. Here's a dumb character Kevin's going to do. Here's this guy who also can't get time with the Funny Bone because he does something who's too weird. Give them some time. Like, Tree Sanchez, who runs her own show here and now, she was a big supporter of us back in the day. So we always put Tree up, and Tree would do these weird characters like she still does now. She has a, it's called Bunny or something. Like, there's some character she does a lot. So we just wanted to, there was nothing at that time. All there was for stand-up, 2009, all there was the Funny Bone.
Right.
So we're like, okay, we're going to do something different. And so that became kind of morphed into, well, if Christian keeps doing these characters, Kevin keeps doing these characters, Kevin and Christian, it follows Kevin and Christian's dumb adventures, and it interrupts it every so often with a stand-up. Right. Right? And so it's this weird narrative in a bunch of stand-ups. And it was a lot of fun doing it, and because of my background in sketch, I knew how to like kind of get props and get the right stuff. And eventually, Kevin he took off. He went to Chicago. Now he's in New York, running a great show called Arguments and Grievances. So good.
Yeah.
So it was just me, and I'm like, oh, how do I do this? Me and Kevin had a great dynamic. Well, I'm sort of bringing some other people in. Now it's just my show. And so I'm getting other people to help out, and it's tough because those folks don't have that sense of possession like I do. We talked a little bit this before, before we were recording, that like the person who runs the thing kind of has like, this is my thing, and it's my baby. And so it was hard for several years to keep people involved to the point where it's like, look, just come in. I'll put the whole show together. I'll do everything. I'll write it. I'll do everything. Just come in. So it became more of that, where it's like, I'm pushing the performance off on them. I'll just put it together. That's me. That's what I'll do. And so that's what I kind of, got used to doing, was just being a producer.
Right.
And I kind of worked myself into a corner that I kind of didn't want to be in, but that's just kind of where I ended up. Then I was like, you know what, man? I kind of said, okay, done. If you want to do this show, you come. You talk to me. And so now I've got me and two other very cool people who are committed and awesome and professional, like my main man Shane. Two people, Lindsay Shipley and Anina Christensen. They are so GD awesome, Shane. They're so good. We have meetings every Tuesday, and you know what they do? They show up to the meetings every goddamn Tuesday.
Yeah.
God bless them. And they're both so funny. So now, like, it was Kevin's and Christian's adventures, and here's these little things we do. Now it's Christian and Lindsay and Nina's adventures, and here's these little other stand-ups in between. So I feel like I finally got, like, people who are, like, they're on the same page.
Yeah. Very cool,
So,
man.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
So nice.
I started laughing when you said Kevin because I remembered that night seeing him at Foam. I forget who was all. You might have even been performing on that. I forget who was all there. I know Zach Towers was there.
Yeah.
He came in town and. But yeah, it was Kevin. I think maybe Justin, Luke, guys. But anyway, but I remember Kevin was like struggling to try to get everybody's attention to start yelling, and then and then end up taking his shirt off.
Yep.
And I remember laughing so hard at that just because like. It was just I never seen somebody take their shirt off on stage and screaming at the people and stuff. So,
God, I love Kevin. I love Kevin, man.
Yeah.
We met like when we did that open mic when we first started it. I'm about 8 years older than Kevin, something like that. I'm real old. I'm like a million years old. And so it was so. It's so cool. Like, I just had a conversation with Kevin today on Facebook where I love watching Kevin become an adult.
Yeah.
And not to say that he wasn't always. He's great. I've always loved him. I've always loved Kevin with all my heart. But he's going through these struggles that I went to when I was now in my early 30s, and I'm like, God, I miss you. God, I miss you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so funny. He's so strong where I'm deficient. He's so good at punchlines. You could just say a few words and he has a punchline like that.
Yeah.
God, he's so good. He's so good. I love him. And he knows how to work a crowd, man. He knows how to get the crowd like running.
Right.
He's so good at it. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's glad to hear that he's doing well with in New York and everything. And
yep.
So, but again, you guys, there's still arguments and grievances in here in St. Louis.
We
too,
do.
Right?
In fact, that show started here. Yeah. The show started with a guy who isn't even in St. Louis anymore. Why have I forgotten his name? He was a comedian, a comic who I think he moved like. Almost like Barbados or something like that. I can't think. Or something like that.
Is that Conti?
Matt Conti. Right. Yeah. Thank you. See? You know it. God bless you. Yeah. Matt started it. And, you know, he's like, Matt's, you know, he has that stand-up mentality where he's like, I'll just try this thing out. Try to start a thing out. It worked. Okay, whatever. You know? And he decided not to do it anymore, but somebody else has picked it up and ran with it. Like, and it's a great idea, man. I'm telling you, the comedy scene owes so much to Matt Conti. And who even knows if Matt's even listening to this or where Matt's at. But, man, he's great.
Yeah.
Matt he's such a great comic. Love that dude.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, man. I really enjoyed watching him perform for several years. And I think he got married and a baby. And his wife is from... South America,
somewhere down there.
So they moved closer to her family, I guess, or something. So
that dude, he could just look at you. Like all he had to do is like he's one of those guys just looks at you like up his nose. You know what I mean? Like you're looking over your glasses or something like that. That dude was so funny. I love that guy. He was so deadpan.
Right.
Oh, Matt Conti, where are you at? Matt Conti, come back here and do. I want to see you do stand up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know where you're living. If they speak English, they need to learn they need to learn English so they can listen to you do stand up, Matt.
Yeah.
God, you're good.
But yeah, man. That. He's one of my favorites, man.
Yeah.
For sure. I miss that guy.
Yeah.
So we got. So you're doing. Bare Knuckle. We got that going, and that's a monthly show over at Heavy Anchor.
The Heavy Anchor, you got it.
And say somebody you know sees this and wants to be involved. I mean, is that something that you guys welcome performers to join you?
Absolutely.
Or?
So it is a stand up showcase. So usually this is like you know it's not an open mic you know, but it's so we try to show off you know people who. You know, like, hey, this guy, just like, you know, just like I said before, like, even though there's now more opportunities in St. Louis, I still, the philosophy of the show has always been, like, to make, bring something new to the table that maybe the audience hasn't seen before. But since there's so much now more going on, it's almost now just a matter of, like, I'm going to pluck this from over here and pluck this from over here and take this into, put it all in one. So, for example, there's this, still this comedy narrative that goes on with now with me and Lindsay and Anina. But now we'll have, you know, like, I think for the February show, we're going to have, I just don't have a date yet, but Tree is going to do a character on there. I think JC Sabala is going to do something. Yeah, you know, if, reach out, man. You know, just yeah. Love to see, you know, send us like some video, you know, love to, somebody who needs that stage time, who's awesome.
Yeah.
That's who I want to put up there.
Definitely, man.
Silliness. And it's not a traditional, just straight up stand up show.
Right.
You know?
It is really neat to see, like,
we'll have, like, improv groups as well.
Sure. But like, it seems like, you know, you're saying since, whatever, 2009 and things, like, I mean, there has been it's kind of a explosion of comedy, you know, like, between, especially for the sort of quote-unquote alt scene or whatever, yeah. You know, the different people, you know, doing different things besides your traditional stand-up, you know, there you got a lot of going on, and that's nice. You got guys in the kind of the spotlight doing things, too. You got Hannibal Buress and mm-hmm. Eric Andre and all these guys, guys that are doing stuff that's not, you know, typical stuff. And like,
Eric Andre show is the best TV show on television, period. Yeah. Love that to no end. I can't get enough of Eric Andre show.
Yeah.
Anything on that show is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I love that. My favorite TV show, bar none.
For sure.
Yeah, man.
He's a wild man.
There's lots of great comics now. There's lots of folks out there really taking chances and exploring things. And it's so nice to know that there's like this huge, there's now a much larger community of people who are like willing to like take chances and do things that are not typical.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love being in that community and, sure. and working with those people and giving them opportunities to try new dumb things.
Yeah. You listen to much music at all around here?
I try to. I tell you what, I work at an electronics retailer, and I get a lot of time to work with people who are younger than me because, like I said, I'm about a million years old, and they'll be listening to music that I don't otherwise wouldn't get a chance to hear. So
sure.
I get a little bit of chance to hear stuff that I otherwise wouldn't. But yeah. Every so often.
Well, I just recently had these guys on. We did Farfetched Collective.
Okay.
Local St. Louis label. Well, we get, you know, Damon is their founder of this group, and every, you know, he started putting this project together and had a bunch of these friends and making music and kind of just brought all this together. And he always, and exactly what he was telling me, which is a lot of what your message sounds like is he was saying he started Farfetched to have a home for the weirdos, is what he said. And like, I thought that was like, it was very interesting the way he said it. And like, but all that music, I mean, a lot of the stuff that they put out is not your typical, you know, radio friendly stuff. I mean, it's things that are, it's, you know, different than everything else too. So
yeah.
What he's doing in comedy, it sounds like a lot of what you've been trying to do in comedy.
Yeah.
Music. Him in music, you in comedy. But,
man.
Bare knuckle and
and
stuff. Kind of a home for the weirdos and for comedy.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, empower people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, try.
So,
yeah, you try.
Yeah. But again, it's that community. You build this network of friends and family, and you guys all work together and stuff and to make something you believe in.
And then as soon as you become famous, you pretend like you never knew them. Right? Right? That's how you do it.
Yep.
I think that's the usual route. Right?
Yep.
Absolutely. I'm going to sell out and pretend like I don't know nobody.
So you also have another show you do a monthly over at Foam called History Schmistry.
Do what now?
Is that right?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
That's what I read.
That's what scientists say, at least.
Kids are telling me.
Yeah, that's what they have. These young kids, they know what's going on. I don't know. Like, I think now I'm 2 million years old. Yeah, that's a fun one. We do it. The idea is that stand-up comics do a few minutes. Well, let me rephrase that. Comics do a few minutes as a historical figure in costume, in character. And so we've had, who have we had?
We just had Stryker and
Stryker,
Ben Johnson.
Oh, man,
Let's last that one.
So we've had Jack the Ripper. We had Stanley Kubrick. We've had Rosa Parks. We've had Warren G. Harding. We've had Napoleon. We've had all these, all these crazy characters. And the great thing is watching these folks come in costume. It's incredible. It's incredible. Amy Milton did Napoleon. She was Napoleon down to the whole entire time. She had her hand in her vest the whole time. Yeah. Mike in one hand the vest. So many people have been knocking it out, like really getting it. There's a comic out of somewhere in Illinois named Tim Loss. He's only done it once, but he was the very first guy who ever went on stage doing it, and he was Henry VIII. And he, my God, he was Henry VIII.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many more comics who've done such a great job, but there is a group of improvisers who call themselves a Who Are We? ? And it's a crew that usually just does this show, and they're an improv group just for History Schmystery, and they'll pick something, like for the Christmas show, they were the Star and the Three Wise Men, and for the last one, they were like Homer, the ancient writer, Jose Feliciano, who is a guitarist, and Helen Keller. All these people are blind, and so they all had blindfolds on. They went up on stage and tried to light a cake and cut a cake, and it was all over the place. They tried to feed the cake to each other, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The people who are doing the show, like, it's incredible watching them do it. It's incredible, like, watching these folks do something that's normally, like, it's like taking a little vacation. You know what? I'm just going to do a few minutes that's not my regular set, and if it bombs, who gives a shit? I'll never do it again. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to do, like, Ben Johnson did Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
The great thing about it is that it might as well not have been Stanley Kubrick. He just did the whole thing, like, with this over-the-top New York accent. He's like, hey, it's your boy. It's, Stanny K. And he's just, forget about it. It was just, he just did this dumb, over-the-top caricature. And he just happened to make a few references to Stanley Kubrick. Killed.
Right.
Killed. Ella Fritz, another comic in town. She did. This is going to sound so real. I keep forgetting. Ava Brown, who was Hitler's girlfriend / wife. Okay. She said she was going to do Ava Brown. She's subsequently then done Ava Brown on other shows here in town. Another awesome show called. Goodness gracious! One with Jeremy and them called Fatal Bus Accident. I think she did it on Fatal Bus Accident. And then Stryker, who did his Jack the Ripper character, then I think he went in that same costume and character in Halloween. So it's like, hey, come here, do this show, do some writing you might not otherwise do, because then you might, like, it might just open up something in your head and, like, oh, I can go do this or I can go do this with this. Yeah. And then, like, it kind of empowers them to go do something they might otherwise not have thought to do.
Right.
Yeah. Silly.
I was actually just last night watching Dana Carvey's latest special. Straight White Male, I think, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've heard him, like, he was also recently on Stern Show kind of talking about a lot of his voices and impressions that he does and things. And just kind of you talking, describing Ben's, like,
yeah,
it's a lot of how Dana was, like, he'll find just something that he finds funny. Like, people give him a lot of credit for, like, his George Bush impression and stuff.
Totally.
But, like, even though his George Bush is nothing like George Bush. It's just something that he thought was funny, and he exaggerated it where it becomes like that's like his thing. So like,
yeah,
and,
man.
So he, you know, that's it's just funny how like you find something that you can enjoy doing it and stuff. So
and just find a way to, you know, relate it to some other thing. Yeah. Absolutely, man. That's all it comes down to. Is this funny?
Right.
Is this funny? Good. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's make it work somehow. Yeah. Put some wheels on that mess.
Yeah. So do you? I mean, do you have like a list of do the comics come to you like, hey, I want to do this character? Or...
So yeah. So so what I'll do is I'll go. There's a Facebook group of like St. Louis comedians. I'm just like, hey, here's the date of the next History Schmystery show. If you want to do it, send me a direct message. And within, I think the last one for the January show, I had to take the post down after 15 minutes because so many people signed up. I'm like, I can't, I can't do anything else. Shut it down.
Sure.
And so they'll ask, like, is there something assigned to me? Is there, how do I do this? I said, no, it's all you because I want to see how you interpret this.
Right.
For example, J.C. Sabala, when he did it, he did Confucius. Okay. So he went to like a Halloween store. And if you've ever seen Kill Bill, there's like these over the top sort of like old Chinese guy with the, you know, big eyebrows, big long mustache. Right. It was like a facial hair kind of mask he wore, and he did it like the old Mel Brooks bit, like the 2,000-year-old man, where he's like, "Hey, Christian, I'm just going to hand you a piece of paper, and you ask me a question, and I'm going to answer it." And it was over the top. It killed. Because he brought his own little weird flavor to it, and it was so silly. It was so good.
Yeah.
It's like you interpret however you want. Whatever you think is funny, put it in a historical context.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to do more stand-up, but as I do this show, I've started to write a second set outside of my normal stand-up that's... Because the idea is based on that Christian is a time traveler, and he goes back in time, and he steals people from their timeline. He brings them on stage and have them do time. So I've been having to write a set that's from the perspective of a time traveler. It's like, don't you hate it when you're going through time and blah, 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 and all this? I'm having to write a whole other second set that's incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so dumb. So I like, you know, Christian opens up, and I'll try to get like a, like I'm kind of like steampunk kind of look with like a dumb top hat and a bunch of, you know, bags and gears and stuff, like he's some sort of time traveler from the 1800s or something. So it's like a whole other set of that I use to open up that show, aside from my regular stand-up.
Yeah.
So dumb. It's so dumb, Shane.
It sounds... you describing all that, I immediately went to Bill and Ted's... Bogus Journey when he collects all the people...
I'm over at my job... And I says, hey, can anybody think of like a bunch of like time travel movies? Because I just got to make a bunch of references to time travel movies.
Right.
And so I'm out there doing my job, and one of my coworkers comes back to me like 10 minutes later with this giant list. I'm like, did you write a list for me? And he's like, yeah. Thank you. So like, that's like, you know, so I've been writing a bunch of dumb Terminator jokes and Bill and Ted jokes and Back to the Future. And you got to like... You can't make it too deep.
Right.
Because, you know, like, you can make that... I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, Donnie Darko. Yeah, yeah. See? Yeah. Exactly. Can't do too deep of a cut.
Right.
Because a lot of people haven't seen Donnie Darko. You know, all those silly movies, like all the, you know, alternate timelines and paradoxes and all the stupid things that come along with time travel.
Yeah.
In case you're listening, anybody at home, there's a comedian named Ian Abramson. He's out in L.A. Runs an awesome show. Called 7 Minutes in Purgatory. He has a great bit about time travel. See if you can find it online. Ian Abramson time travel bit, the best. So good.
Yeah.
So good, Shane.
Check it out.
Yeah. Ian Abramson. He's great.
So you said earlier, you know, you're doing this for a long time now, and you're meeting all these cool people traveling through, and you've been trying to do... You do a show now once a month also at Foam called In Transit.
In Transit. So this is...
Help these guys out.
So they a lot of folks will, you know, hey, if somebody contacts somebody, they'll say, hey, talk to Christian, see if we can set you up for a show. And if I can't fit him on any of my shows, or if I'm like, hey, you know, this comic is in town, could anybody give him some time? You know, go to some of the other folks who run, like Chris runs shows. Hey, you know, like Justin Luke and Andrew Mihalovich run a show. Can anybody fit him some time? No. Okay, so there's a show now. I try to do it monthly where if I can't fit that comic anywhere else, it's called In Transit because they're only in town for one night. And we'll set it up so that the entire door, all the money collected at the door goes to them because, you know, a lot of these comics ain't got no money, you know, and they're going, you know, they're traveling to the next town. Just give them money, give them cash so they can get some gas, get them somewhere to, you know, get them some food and get them to the next town because there's so many of these comics out here don't like, they're trying to, you know, trying to hustle. And if you can't make that connection, if you can't get in that scene and make that connection, you're screwed. You just can't go to that town.
Yeah.
You can't get your act seen. And so, you know, whatever you can do to help these folks out, get them, you know, get them paid, get them, God damn it, get a shower. Right. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, get them, try to take care of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we we have couple dates. We do have doing a history schmistry in Chicago.
Taking
it on the road. You're going to be up there in Chicago. So if you have any friends in the Chicago area, tell them January 25th.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be in town doing that
at a place called. It's a weird name for bar. It's called. Its name is At North. It's a weird name.
Yeah.
Awesome bar. Awesome venue.
Yeah. Nice. And then doing. January 28th, you're doing Contraceptive Comedy. It's a Strikers show. It's Shameless.
You got it. Strikers, awesome show. He's running a great show. Striker was good enough to, as I've been kind of moving from producer back into stand-up, Striker was good enough to give me some advice. Because, again, Striker, great at punchlines. I'm going to go do some time up there.
Yeah.
Great show, man. Love that place.
Very nice. Yeah. I've been a couple of Strikers shows over there. It's always a good time.
Yeah, man. He knocks it out.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, being surrounded by vagina molds all over the...
It's not a bad. That's too bad. Yeah, it's not too bad at all. Right. Not too bad. I've been in worse places.
Sure.
Yeah. What is it called? I can't remember the place. Shameless Grounds.
Yeah.
Shameless Grounds. That's what it's called. Yeah.
So what is writing like for you? We kind of had a little bit of discussion before we started about you have your phone and you wrote a little write a little note. I mean, is that a lot of it for you? You kind of just get an idea that.
Yeah. So what I like. So what I typically my typical behavior is, I want to find a way that I want to find a bit or something I can do that will draw the audience's attention. Like, that's, like, there's a bit that I do about being on an elevator. There's a bit I do about this answering machine that's just, like, you. When I start doing it, the audience is just like, what are you doing? And I tend to, like, in the past, I've just strung together a bunch of those. So my act was almost, for a while, was almost like weird performance art. It was a weird combination of, like, almost like a one-man sketch show, kind of. But I'm learning now... more just about punchlines, you know, like doing more. You know what? As much as I didn't identify with that, with the funny bone when I was younger, well, that's what stand-up comedy is, so I have to do that. So I'm learning all about that. In fact, I mentioned Stryker a bit ago. Stryker helped me a little bit with that, like, you know, doing stuff that's having those weird things that I do, but filling it with jokes in between.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, there'll be, like, you know, something to get the audience's attention and joke, 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 joke. What's this weird thing? Joke, joke, joke.
Yeah.
I'll write something and then put it on my iPhone and just leave it for a week. Just don't even think about it. Come back a week later. Is this still funny? If I still think it's funny, okay, then I'm going to go do it over an open mic. So you try to constantly have like a supply of... Of the supply of jokes,
sure. You can
pull one out. Is this still funny? Let's try it. That kind of thing.
That style, kind of. You know, we were talking Nick Vatterott earlier, also, and one of my favorites is his late night set he did, where he had the giant set list, and he does all these like goofy things in between, and you laugh, But then, like, he ties it all together at the end, pulls out the set list, and
that's who I want to be. Yeah. That's exactly where I want to be. That's like that's who I identify with. So that's kind of like I like to do like weird things. That kind of like you said in that particular set he did, he does things that are kind of like they're kind of funny, but this kind of draw your attention.
Yeah,
and then you're like, oh, he's doing this.
Right.
Like I like creating like a larger set that like. Harkens back to these sure. weird things. So yeah,
it's kind of like the ultimate callback, you know, like
yeah,
thing like where he brought it all home at the end, and it all, and of course, it's the big payoff and things. But
I love,
yeah,
that love
was.
Nick.
I thought that was that bit, that whole, you know, it was genius. I thought it was great.
Oh, I'm so angry at him that he came up with that.
Right,
I'm so angry because it's so beautiful. It's so gorgeous.
Yep,
God, he's so good.
Yeah, man. But yeah, it's pretty cool to see, especially at friends getting those opportunities of being on late night and doing that kind of stuff and things. And
Nick's the best.
Getting to do that kind of cool opportunities. And
oh, that ding dong.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great. He's great.
Do you have, like, what's the ultimate for you, think, for you? Like, if you could... you know, pick one. I mean, a lot of people want to get to SNL and all that kind of stuff. I mean, is that? I mean, is that something that you would like, or you enjoyed?
Yeah, you know, I've often thought about this, and for a lot of people, writing for Saturday Night Live is a stepping stone to other things.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Like, I could probably die pretty happy. If I could do that or something like that, I'd be really happy to be able to like write for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just like this. See, this is a challenge for me. I have to have goals.
Right.
I like to just do comedy. I just love doing it. But I think that'd be great if I could like write for Saturday Night Live or write for like a TV show that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. You know, and. It's like I said, a lot of people use these things as stepping stones to get other things. I'd be very happy with that.
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Even, you know, Workaholics.
Yeah.
Even that show, I mean, technically, it's a lot of sketch. You know, it's like each episode, there's not really like a storyline necessarily through the whole series
right.
and stuff. You know,
yeah.
It's just a lot of funny ideas mashed together into an office setting and stuff like that or wherever they happen to take the scene to. But... you know, like, so even besides SNL and things, there's a lot of great comedy writing. I mean, you got a whole Comedy Central's got all kinds, always developing more shows, but the problem is a lot of them are kind of short-lived.
Very short-lived.
Yeah.
Bare Knuckle Comedy now, with me and the other, with Lindsay and Nina, we've filmed a bunch of shorts, and we've been doing a bunch of shorts and putting them out. And I've been for the last maybe 3 years, I've been trying to find a way to make Bare Knuckle Comedy into... a show, and I talked to Kevin, you know, the guy who I started it with, and I've talked to Hammond and Hahn. How can I do this? Because there's this comedy narrative that's going on, and I'm sitting on now 6 years of scripts of these things. I think I finally figured out how to do it. It's something I'm working on. Luckily, I've got a lot of friends who are really good at the or professional video folks who've helped do work on commercials and stuff like that. But I think I finally figured out how to turn Bare Knuckle Comedy into a larger show.
Yeah.
It's a little bit complicated, and I don't want to bore people with details, but I think I finally figured it out. So
is that something you think? What happened in 2017, you think? Or
Maybe. Yeah. Bare Knuckle Comedy took... We did a show in early December, and we decided, you know, hey, we're going to take January off. So we had most of December. We're going to get back to have a meeting this Tuesday. But, yeah, I think hopefully so. We've got, like I said, I've got a treasure trove of scripts to work with. The Google Drive for... bareknucklecomedy@gmail.com is insane.
Yeah.
So many scripts. But I think I've found a way to make this into something that works. Like I said, it's a little bit complex.
Sure.
But I think Maybe. Hopefully, great. Hopefully we'll have something larger by the end of 2017. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll put that to be continued. Yeah. Question marks. We'll see.
Well, people, if you want to get involved, of course, there's Bare Knuckle Comedy on Facebook. And is there a website as
yep.
well?
Yep, bareknucklecomedy.com.
There you go.
Yep.
And I'm, get out and get involved. And again, more dates always being announced. We got yep. a lot of more shows coming up. So, of course, also for February, you can see Christian at 17th at Impolite Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's with Chris.
Chris Sear, yep.
Yeah. And then on February 23rd, History Schmystery in St. Louis over at Foam.
Mm-hmm.
So mark those on your calendar. Come out.
Yep.
And yeah, have a good time.
And then in March, I'm doing the show called, it's called Tomorrow at the Steve Allen Theater in L.A. I'm nice. Doing stand-up out there. It's incredible. And I'll be doing History Schmystery in San Francisco the weekend before. And then hopefully, if I can swing it, there's a really awesome independent comedy show out there in L.A. It might be in one night I'm able to do the show called Tomorrow. And there's another independent comedy show run by a comedian named Dave Ross called, it's a weird name, it's called Good Heroin. But it's a really popular show, and I'm hopefully I'll be able to do it that night of incredible shows doing stand-up out in L.A.
Yeah, man.
We'll see. But that's a few months. That's March, kids.
Yeah.
Check back up with me. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, man, I wish you the best of luck with L.A. and all that. That sounds very exciting.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think anything like that, I mean, even more, it's an incredible opportunity getting some state-quality stage time in front of a new audience. But it's also networking. It's a lot of you get to meet, you know, more and more great people that are like-minded and want to do fun stuff. So I think that's a lot of it's great for that stuff. And that's what I try to do with this show, is trying to network as much as I can, get out there,
see
meet all kinds of cool people.
Because Shane's a goddamn professional is what he is. Shane comes through here like, you can't see this, but he's wearing a three-piece suit. He's got a briefcase that has his laptop in it. And he's got a secretary in the other room doing all his paperwork. You can't see that at home.
Right.
This is a little bit. Shane's bragging for me. I'm going to brag for Shane. He's got a whole operation he's got set up here. It's remarkable.
A little peek behind the curtain there.
Bill, peek behind the curtain. What's going on? God bless it, Shane.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out, man. Making us taking some time out to make it happen.
Oh, listen to you. Thank you for listening to my talk words. Oh, so silly. Thanks so much, Shane. I appreciate it. It's awfully kind of you to come out.
Yeah, man. I'll see you soon, Christian.
You got it. Thanks so much, Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.